We started the discussion of Kol and Dibra and Osias, of sound, of voice, of speech and letters, up to the second shir. And in order to understand, we began, I mean, it was already 2 weeks, so in order to understand the inyan of tefillah, in order to understand the whole subject of tefillah, of davening, what does davening mean, how does davening work, so we have to understand the significance of speech, of human speech, and then how speech, that tefillah is a perfected level of speech. So we have to begin by understanding, by working on the need of speech. So in order to understand that, we have to first study the subject of the nefesh, the ruach, and the neshama. Not in too great depth, because that would take us for the rest of our lives. So we would just, we began with the introduction. We saw that the human being, bechlal, let me just chazer for 2 minutes to review. That the human being, if you don't have the pages there, there's some extra here. The human being in general, the tzuras adam, the stature, the essence of the human being is that he's the nekudas achibah, the point that joins together Shemayim and Aretz. That was the first one over there. The Chazal say that the human being is created vayitza Hashem Elokim asadam afram and adama, that the human being was created from the afar, from the dust of the earth. The human being, on the one hand, is created from the earth, and then it says vayipach ba'ap of nishmas chayim, and Hashem breathed into man the living soul. So the human being is the nekudas achibah, he stands between heaven and earth. And we spoke about that in the ladder of Yaakov Avinu, and how the human being on the one hand has this transcendent spiritual quality of Shemayim, on the other hand he's rooted in earthliness and the world. So he is the nekudas achibah. So the tzura sabna, the definition of man, is a being that somehow within himself is achid shmaya va'ara, unites heaven and earth. In the writings of the Zohar HaKadosh, the tzaddik, the great tzaddik, is the one who is achid shmaya va'ara, the one who can join together heaven and earth. That's the ideal man. The ideal human being is the one who joins together heaven and earth. Now how that works, so that we saw in number two, that the soul consists of five parts. Again, this is not something you can chop up in a kitchen. The soul consists of five parts. The last two, the final two, chayin yechida, not the subject of our discussions. So, nefesh, ruach, and neshama, we saw, according to Reb Chaim Volozhiner, the three terms that we're familiar with all the years and we use all the time, nefesh, ruach, and neshama, we're not quite sure. We always attach the word holy to each of them, and we're not quite sure what each one means. So Reb Chaim Volozhiner, and this is the same in the Tanya and all the Svar, it's just in the Nefesh Chaim was written in a very, very short and clear way. So Reb Chaim Volozhiner tells us that these three, nefesh, ruach, and neshama, correspond to Maise, Dibur, and Machshava. The Nefesh, which is the most basic part of the soul, that which is the life force, the energy force, the energy of the human being, the physiological, biological energy of the human being, as it says in the Pasuk, Ki Adam Hu HaNefesh. The blood is the source, or is the manifestation of the Nefesh, is through the blood. It doesn't mean that, as I mentioned last time, it doesn't mean that if you cut open the liver, you'll find little nefesh signs all over the place. It's not a physical thing, but the nefesh is manifested most profoundly, most obviously through the blood, through the circulation of the blood and the liver. That Reb Chaim says, Reb Chaim Volozhiner explains, that the nefesh is that part of us that is responsible for our maisim, that is directly related to what we physically are doing. And the circulation of the blood to all the limbs of the body, as Reb Chaim explains. The ruach is manifested through the heart. We didn't talk about that yet. We'll talk about the ruach last, because that's what's connected to the speech. The ruach is manifested through the heart. All we know is that when Shlomo HaMelech speaks about the ruach, he says that it is olav, olav yoredes. It rises and it falls. It ascends and descends. That's what Chazal say. Using the pasuk in Koheles, that was in number two. That the nature of ruach is that it rises and falls. We still don't know what that means, that it rises and falls. And the neshama is connected to the intellect. The intellect is manifested through the the neshama. The neshama is manifested through the intellect. That's where we were up to. That's why number four, on this page of number four, Mishlo Chos al Kvod Kono, that's where we were up to. So it says the Gemara, this is the last thing we had been discussing, that says the Gemara is talking about a person who doesn't have compassion or pity on his maker, on the one who made him. A Jewish person who doesn't have compassion for the Creator, for Hashem. So the Rambam defines that in a typical Rambam way, where he says, it's number four, Kol Shaloch Chos al Kvod Kono Rotzer Bo Mishaloch Yochus V'Yachmol al Sichlo Ki HaSeichel Hu Kvod Hashem. So the Rambam is talking about the neshama here. The Rambam is speaking about the neshama. And the Rambam says, we're going to come to Ruach last. We spoke about nefesh a little bit, now we're going to talk about neshama for a moment, and then we're going to be concentrating on Ruach for a long time. So the Rambam says that when the Gemara is speaking about a person who doesn't have compassion upon Hashem, it means a person who doesn't have rachmanis on his mind, on the intellect. If a person fills the mind with nairishkeit, with silliness, with stupidity, if the person's mind is attached to things that are not important, so the Rambam says that's the definition of a person who doesn't have rachmanis on the Creator, on Hashem. Because the point of attachment, the most powerful point of attachment between a human being and Hashem is the mind, is the intellect, because it's the seat of the neshama. That's what we see in the Mar Nevuchim. The next one, number five, is also from Mar Nevuchim. The first most imperishable Mishnah is from Mar Nevuchim. Zeh aseichel shofar leinim Hashem yisala, the mind, the intellect that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given to us, who had dibuk asher beinenu ubeino. It's the mind that is the point of attachment, the dibuk asher beinenu ubeino. And this is explained in the Ramban, in number 6, ki hu nafach bi'apav nishmas chayim. With the creation of man, it says, Vayipach ba'apav nishmas chayim, and Hashem exhaled, breathed into man a living soul, the neshama. That's the first appearance of the word neshama in Tanakh. And there's a rule from the Tzaddikim that's found primarily in the writings of the Rebbe of Tzaddik from Lublin, that the first time a word is found in Tanakh, if you want to understand what that concept means, always look for the first time it's mentioned in the Tanakh, and there you will find the essence of that word, the essence of that concept. So the first time we see neshama mentioned in the whole Tanakh is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu breathed into man a living soul. Vayipach ba'apav nishmas chayim. The Ramban writes, it's the bottom of the page, ki hu nafach ba'apav nishmas chayim lahodia. What does it mean? Why does the Torah say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu breathed into man? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, of course, we know that the Torah uses the language of Bnei Adam, uses the language that we speak, the kind of words that we use. So why, when creating the neshama, why, when giving the neshama into the human being, does the Torah use the word vayipach, which is to breathe, to exhale? So Ramban says, lahodia ki lo bo bo min hayisodos. Next page, kasher ramas benefesh atnua gam loy bishtashlus min haschalam anevdolim. Avli ruach Hashem hagodl mipiv das usvuna. So Ramban says the reason that the Torah is describing in this way, vayipach, and here he's alluding to a famous statement that's found in the Zohar, where it says in the Zohar, man denofach mitochei nofach. That means that when a person has to exhale into something, when you have to blow into a balloon, so it tires you out. When you're speaking, a person can talk for hours, a person can talk for a long time, and it doesn't necessarily make you tired. When a person has to, like I spend most of the summer blowing up the kids' things for the pool, you know, the tubes and the rest of that stuff. So you know how it is when you become dizzy, you're exhausted. When you have to exhale, why? So the Zohar says, man denofach, when you blow into something, it's mitoich, it's from the kishkes. It comes from all the way within. So when the Torah describes the creation of the soul, the Torah uses the word with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course Hashem doesn't tire. So when the Torah wants to tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu invested from the very depths, kivyochel, of his being, it uses the word he exhaled. That means not like speech. The rest of creation took place with words. Vayoma Hashem Yehi Rakia. Vayoma Hashem Yehi Or. Vayoma Hashem. Hashem said, let there be this, let there be that. Everything is with speaking. Speech, as remarkable as it is, doesn't come from very depths in the essence of the person. But Vayipach, when the neshama was created, HaKadosh Baruch Hu invested kivyochel from his deepest kochos. That's what the Ramban is talking about here. Avli ruach Hashem ha-godol mi-piv das u-svuna. That from the mouth of Hashem he breathed into the human being, das u-svuna. That from his wisdom and his intelligence, he exhaled from the innermost essence, kivyachal, of his being into the human being. If you have to blow your, if Chalila, someone needs to be, what's it called, resuscitated, so then it's mitoichenofach, to save that person's life, you have to breathe into the person with all your koich as it comes from the very depths. So when Hashem is Baruch created the neshama, so the neshama, which the Ramban says, is mipiv das usvuna, intelligence and wisdom. For the human being to have this quality of intelligence, this ability to reason, to think, this comes from this is what the neshama means, and it comes from the very depths, kivyochel, of Hashem. Vayipach ba'apav nishmas chayim, the living soul. That's the neshama. And that's where Rabbi Chaim spells out clearly in the next one. I'm going through this very quickly because we have to get to the yesod. Neshama, Rabbi Chaim says, Hamelamedes la'adam deyu ubina b'toraseinu hakidosha. The neshama, Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner says, gives the human being the ability to study, to understand with wisdom, with intelligence, the teachings of the Torah. Lachen ikur mishkana b'moach. Therefore, the main place where the neshama, through which the neshama is manifested, is the moach, is the mind. Kli hamachshava, which is the vessel of thought, the instrument of thought. V'yabchina ha'al b'hem, and this is the most exalted quality of the soul. Again, he's not talking about chayin yechida. That's not for discussion. This is the most exalted of the three of nefesh, ruach, neshama. Therefore, it is manifested through the most exalted part of the most exalted organ of the human body, which is the mind. Let's get to ruach. Now, ruach is the main thing. The ruach is expressed through the heart. Is manifested through the heart. So the pasuk says in Mishlei, "Mikol mishmar nitzar libcha." Be very, very careful to guard your heart. Now, all that we're going to talk about comes from this pasuk, although I'm not going to refer back to it again. Just take a look there. If you look in the Mefarshim, if you have some time, it's kedai to look in the Mefarshim. I'm just going to go through it quickly. Mikol mishmar nitzar libcha. That to guard your heart very carefully, it should be carefully guarded, protected, safeguarded. Because all of life comes forth is the result of what happens in the heart. Like the word in Hebrew, totsa'ah, is a result. So mimenu totsoz chai means all that will come forth, all that will result in one's life depends upon the heart. Now that means even in simple mitzias, just in simple mitzias in reality, which you see in the next one. I can no longer read the numbers that I wrote, but it's in the next one. Tanar abonad ad hechon hu bodek. The Gemara, this Gemara in Yuma, this is a Gemara that deals with the halacha of a person who, God forbid, if a person who was either in a house that burned down, and we find there a person that appears to be dead, but we have to verify to make sure that the person is not alive. Or it's talking about a mapelis that a house fell on top of somebody, and the person's body, the person is sometimes partially covered, and we're trying to determine whether or not this person is still alive at that point. This could involve, of course, questions of pikuach nefesh, which, of course, involves the question of what are we allowed to do on Shabbos. If the person is nebuch not alive, then we can't be mechal Shabbos. If the person still is the slightest trace of life is there, then we could be mechal Shabbos. Now we have to be mechal Shabbos to remove the person from under the rocks or whatever it may be. So that's what the Gemara is talking about. So this is a very, very controversial issue in halacha. So the Gemara there says, Tan Rabbanan ad heichan hu bodek. The Gemara there says, ad heichan hu bodek. To where do you have to check to see if that person is alive? In other words, how do we know if the person is a living being? How do we know if he's still alive? So ad chotmo. So one opinion says that it's not enough to check, that it's not enough to check the heart. One opinion says that you have to check to see if there's any breath coming from the nostrils. Ad chotmo. V'yeshom ad libo. I'm not going to get to the halacha. This is a very big question. Unfortunately, it's no gela maisa. Ad libo. That if there's still the heart is still beating. So in that Gemara, the conclusion is that even Abishol, who normally goes by the heart, agrees that when there's a case of pikuach nefesh, when it's a decision regarding the saving of a person's life, not just the issue of whether a person, let's say, is in the hospital, whether he's alive or he's not alive, but if it's a question of saving a person's life, then we go by the breath. That the ikar chayusa ba'apehu, that the ikar, the essence of life, the ikar chayusa, the essential ingredient that gives the person that which we call life, is ba'apeh, is in the nostrils, in the nose, in the ruach. That's the ruach. K'dichsiv is written kol hashen nishmas ruach chayim ba'apo. Nishmas ruach chayim ba'apo. So here we see an interesting thing, the combination between, on a simple physical level, I mean, what's called life? There's a relationship between the heart and the nose. The heart, which is the dwelling place while the person is alive, is the dwelling place of the ruach, of that which is, ruach means breath, it means air, it means spirit. The heart is the mishkan haruach, is the place of the ruach. But the way that it's manifested physically, the way that it appears in the physical world is through the ruach that comes out through the nostrils, through the mouth. So there the Gemara is discussing, when we saw the pasuk before that says, guard your heart very carefully, because mimenu tatzos chayim, that life, all that's going to be in life comes forth from the heart. So on a very simple level, the definition of life itself. Now this is on a physical level. After this we're going to be discussing this spiritually and with speech. That on a physical level, the definition of life is somehow this relationship between what goes on in the heart, which is the place of the ruach, and the way that the ruach is expressed in the physical world, which is through the nostrils and through the mouth. As the pasuk says, kol hashen nishmas ruach chayim ba'apo. Nishmas ruach chayim ba'apo. So now let's go back. The heart is normally associated with the emotions. We want to understand, what does ruach mean? Again, nefesh we understand. Nefesh means the physiological organism, the body. The blood, the body, what gives the body the ability to function, and all the organs the ability to move, and so on. The heart is the place of emotions. That means a person's ritzonos, a person's desires, a person's midos, how we relate to everything in the world, ahava, love, and yira, and awe, and fear, anger, and compassion, sadness. All of these emotions are connected to the heart, are connected to the ruach. So when Shlomo HaMelech spoke about the ruach, and we saw from Chazal that the definition of ruach is that it's olav yoredes, the way that a person inhales and exhales. Olav yoredes means, what Chazal are telling us and what Shlomo HaMelech is telling us, is the definition of life on a spiritual level is free choice, bechira. That's what life is, choice, free choice. That a human being has it in this world, he's either a bocher, he either chooses, or he's the same letters of boreach, or he runs away. Boreach and bocher are the same letters. As we see very often in the letters, that it could be one thing or the opposite. The reason that Shlomo HaMelech speaks about the ruach and Chazal defines the ruach as something which is olav yoredes, it goes up and it comes down, because that's the definition of bechira. That somehow the ruach, gives the person the ability to either throw himself into the world of the nefesh, which means the physical life, and in doing so, to separate himself from holiness, or to throw himself into the world of Shemayim, into the world of the Neshama. The Ruach stands between the Nefesh and the Neshama. That's why I wanted to do a list. Nefesh is that part of us that's called Aretz, Earth. That's the bottom of the ladder that's rooted in this world. That's called the Nefesh. The Neshama is the intellect, is the mind. That's called Shemayim. That's called the transcendent heavenly part of the human being. The Ruach Chazal call that which is Olav Yoredes, it rises and falls. In other words, the Ruach which is the place of emotion, of desire, of wanting. The Ruach which is the place of the heart and of feeling and all the midos and emotions. The Ruach is the battlefield of Bechira Chofshis, is the Ruach. It's the battlefield of Bechira Chofshis. It's the place where Bechira takes place for the most part. Not the intellect and not the nefesh. We'll talk about that afterwards. The Ruach is the place which is Olah or Yoredes. It stands between the Shemaim within the person, the intellect, the mind, and the Aretz and the earth. When the person has a she'ifa, and the word sho'ef also means inhaling, breathing, lish'of avir, to breathe. When a person is sho'ef, which means is ambitious and is trying, is longing to be an oila, to be one of those who's rising, who's going up. So then what happens is that the nefesh is then connected to, through the ruach, the nefesh becomes connected to the neshama. And we have a wonderful connection of nefesh, ruach, neshama, which will enable the person to think thoughts that are holy, to say things that are holy, and to do things that are holy with Ma'aseh Dibur and Machshava, that all three qualities are lifted up. The Ruach, when the Ruach tilts over to the side of holiness, it brings the Nefesh, connects the Nefesh up to the Neshama. That means the most base physical part of us is connected to the intellect, to the most exalted part of us. This takes place primarily through the Ruach. And if Chalila, a person is Yored, if a person goes down, so then he could drag the Neshama down to a level of Guf. He could drag the Neshama, he could take thoughts, he could take the human mind that was given, as the Reb Chaim said, it was given to think thoughts of holiness of Torah. He could take the human mind and drag it into the dirt and bring it down to a level of Nefesh, where it's safe to say that a large part of the world, when they use their mind, they use the intellect, it's all Shtusim and Havalim. I mean, it could be a brilliant shtus. You know, so I'm talking about it could be brilliant. It could be brilliant. You know, you could see reviews of, you know, they would always, I always remember my father wondering how English is being used in America, when you'd see, like, you know, a Woody Allen movie being described as brilliant. So, you know, I would try to explain to my father, you know, it is brilliant, and brilliant means, you know, it's an ingenious idea. So my father said, when we used to speak about brilliant people, we meant it in a different way. The Vilna Gaon was brilliant. You know. The Chassam Sofer was brilliant. The truth is that there are people who are brilliant, and every single moment of their brilliance and every single thought that they have is all on the level of Nefesh. They take the Kli that was given to think thoughts, to bring the Nefesh through the Ruach up to the Neshama, they're able to take the human mind and to drag it into a level of Aretz that even the brilliant, profound thoughts of philosophers could be no more than Nefesh. And it's all... I mean, if the Neshama is the intellect, how many people can honestly say that the decisions that they make are based upon what the intellect is telling them? It's a very hard thing to say. Like, you know, for example, there could be major, major decisions made by, you know, you get a 17-year-old kid. An 18-year-old kid will make this lifetime decision about where to go to school or who to marry at 20, right? So how much of that is b'derech haseichel? There's a lot of nefesh there, because the body is talking, and there's a lot of emotion. As far as how much of this is connected to the neshama, and where is the neshama being led by the nefesh, or is the nefesh leading the neshama? So this is the question of life. In a healthy situation, that's why it's called Tatzos Chaim. What does it say? The Torah says Ubacharta Bachaim. You shall choose life. So the same way that physically the Ruach is the place of life, as we see in the Gemara there, the Halacha that tells us that the way to judge whether a person is living or not living is by the breath, which comes from the heart. So the same way that physically the way to measure life is through the breath, which is the ruach, so too spiritually the way to measure whether a person is spiritually healthy and spiritually alive is ubacharta b'chayim. Bechira means it's alebedik emensh. If a person can make his own choices, if a person is using the kocha bechira, then he's living. That's called chiyus. That's called chayim. But if the person is being, if the person's life is being controlled by the nefesh, and the nefesh tells your ruach how to feel, and the ruach tells the neshama what to think, chalila. So what's happening is there's a reversal. Therefore, the Svar Makadoshim tell us that in the proper situation, where the mind is shalit al alev, where the mind controls the ruach, where the mind influences the ruach. The ruach is the place of bechira, but the mind is on a higher level. Ideally, Chabad, Chochma, Bina, and Daz dictate and control, ideally, Chagas, Chesed, Gvur, and Teferus, the lower emotional qualities that are the ruach, that are in the heart. Therefore, the normal seder of things should be Melech. Melech means Moach. Malach is the mem, the mind, that's the neshama. Lev is the heart, is the ruach. And kaved, the chaf, is the liver, is the nefesh. In a correct situation where the person is in a state of malchus, where he's a melech over himself, the mind, the moach, influences the lev, the ruach. The ruach is the emotion. The ruach is a very, very powerful wind. It's a hurricane of feelings that could take the bechira one way or the other. One way or the other. The mind is supposed to send messages to the lev, from the mem to the lamed. And then the lamed is supposed to tell the kaveh, the liver, or the nefesh, the physical body, how to react. So in a proper situation, in a proper order, we have the word melech, king. When the mind rules over the ruach, and rules over, when the neshama rules over the ruach, and rules over the nefesh. The opposite of those letters, if the person's life is dictated by the nefesh, in other words, my physical body tells my ruach something. Then my emotions get working, and then my emotions talk it into my seichel. No, never heard such a thing. We've all gone through it a million times. Let's use a harmless example. One of the best mishalim to use is dieting. Everybody, almost everybody diets at one point or the other. You think with all dieting there'd be a lot less weight in the world, but it seems that it's not working out that way. So almost everybody diets. So your seichel, if you just use simple seichel tell you, look, I've been trying to watch my weight, and if I'm going to have this piece of cake, so then I'm going to feel upset. I'm going to be upset with how I look and how I feel and so on. And that should tell the person's ruach to feel a certain distaste and a certain distance and to feel a certain anger about this piece of cake. A certain anger. Which would then in turn give the message over to the body, to the nefesh, to stay away. So then how come it happens so much on a Friday night after the kids are in bed and the piece of cake is sitting there on the table, that all of a sudden every Jewish person becomes a sculptor? Right? You know, right, you make a little bit here and I'm not really eating it, I just... If you break it up into small pieces also, and all the calories go out, right? If you smash it down, then everything goes away. So what happens? So the nefesh comes up with this amazing thought. A thought. The nefesh doesn't belong in the world of thought. The nefesh says, it's Shabbos. And what's one piece going to hurt anyway? And you know, you can control yourself. Everybody says that if you only have a little bit once a week. All these things that our neshama knows, the seichel knows, it's not true. It's Shabbos shek. It's a silliness. It's such silliness. And while you're already having it, you know that it's a shtusim havala. That's what the Gemara says. That when does a person do an aveir? It's not a ruach, it's a ruach shtus. What is a ruach shtus? It means a spirit, a ruach of folly, of silliness. A shtus. It's a ruach shtus. Because the neshama, the seichel knows. So what happens? Because my neshama here is being controlled. I'll make up all kinds of fancy philosophies about how important it is. You know, I shouldn't deny myself, because maybe if I deny myself, then after I lose the weight, then I'll go crazy and eat all the cake in the world. So I better have this piece of cake in order that I should lose weight. Like, you know, you have all these kind of funny things. And you say, well, this is seichel? What kind of seichel is this? This isn't seichel. This is stupid. But the nefesh, the body, is talking. So the nefesh is telling the ruach. And the ruach goes to the neshama. And then how does it come out in our lives? That it sounds like some intellectual concept, some intelligent thing that is telling you that this makes sense. And then as soon as you finish, it's a shtus, and you feel lousy, and you feel terrible about yourself. It's a shtus. That's a ruach shtus, the opposite of the word melech, which is the proper order. If a person goes by the nefesh to the ruach, to the neshama, then it spells chof lamed mem, which means kolem, which means humiliation, klima. That's the opposite of melech, is kolem. And if you turn around Shabbos and you use it as a day that is just satisfying the nefesh, then it becomes klima. The opposite of the letters malke, you could change malke into klima very easily. So the correct order of melech is moach lev kaved. A distorted life is kaved lev moach. To work from the nefesh up to the lev and up to moach. Iris?
Question?
Yeah, sure.
So, I understand. If you intellect, so you always do intellect as this like thing that not related to anything spiritual. You know, like I said, Woody Allen is brilliant. So if the moach is the intellect first, so where does it get its direction from?
And the shaman shasatabi tahorahi. The neshama in its very essence, as I mentioned last time, is never defiled by any of our affairs. The neshama knows the truth.
The moach knows the truth?
Yes. Yeah, the moach knows. It's what happens in the relationship with the lev and with the ruach. That's why we have to move ahead very quickly here to understand this point so we can get to speech, so we can work our way to the level of speech. That's why when Moshe Rabbeinu came to give the Torah to Klal Yisrael, when Moshe Rabbeinu came to give us the Torah, the condition of giving the Torah was, it says in the Pasuk, V'atem tiyu li mamleches kohanim v'goy kadosh, Eilah ha'dvar meshet tedabra al b'nei Yisrael. Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu to tell the Jewish people that there should be a mamleches kohanim, that they're a kingdom of priests and a holy nation, right? A kingdom. Mamleches kohanim. Rashi says, Eilah ha'dvar meshet tedabra al b'nei Yisrael. So Rashi says, Eilah ha'dvarm lo pachos v'lo yoser. These are the words that you should tell the Jewish people. What? That they're a kingdom of priests. So Rashi says, these are the words, not one word more, not one word less. This is strange, Rashi. It says many times in the Torah, Eila Dvarim. Why does Rashi say over here, tell them exactly this, that they're kings? Not a word more, not a word less. So listen to what Rabbeinu Yonah says in the Shari Tshuva. Rabbeinu Yonah is defining, what's the meaning of a mamleches kohanim? What's the meaning of what's the meaning that every Jewish person is a king? What's this business of being mamleches kohanim? A kingdom of priests of kohanim. What is this? So Rabbeinu Yonah says, Ki am ha-kadosh, shem ovde Hashem Yisbarach, ein lehem lichana lebosar adam. The holy nation, the Jewish people, have to be malachim, have to be kings, that they don't bend down to bosar adam, to flesh and blood. They don't submit. Hashem said, you are my servants. You are my servants and you are the servants of other servants. So Rabbeinu Yonah says, V'nemar atem tiyulim amlechas kohanim v'goy kodesh. Loshem kohanim adonim v'sarim. When Hashem calls us a kingdom of priests, it means that we are adonim v'sarim. What does it mean adonim v'sarim? Masters and princes. So when Hashem gave us the Torah, the condition of receiving, to be a person of Torah means to understand that every Jewish person has this quality of Malchus. That, by the way, in Kabbalah we're taught that's the meaning of the crowns on the letters. Since we have a tradition in the Svar Makadoshim, we have a tradition from the Zohar already, that every single Jew, it's from Chazal, that every single Jew has a letter in the Sefer Torah, right? Every neshama is connected to a letter in the Torah. That means that every single Jew also is connected to a crown. That means that every single person in this world has a certain specific area of malchus, of greatness that Hashem Yisbarach gave that person, and with that the person has to direct every single thing, every choice of his life has to be directed by that crown, by that sense of malchus. And malchus in general means what Rabbi Yonah is saying, is that a Jewish person feels that he's an Adon and he's a Sar. And the meaning of being an Adon and a Sar, says in the Gemara, that in the Dorm, that when Avram Avinu's name was changed from Avram to Avram, so everybody knows that the word Avram equals 248. Right? Avram equals 248. So the Gemara in the Dorm says that the reason that Hashem wanted his name to equal 248, which are the limbs of the body. So the Gemara says, Mitchila him licha, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Masayim Ishlosh, Lubasofim licha, Ramach Evarim. That Hashem made Avram Avinu king over his body. Now, in other words, the definition of being king. What Rabbeinu Yonah is telling us, what we understand that the definition of Melech, remember we're talking about here, is that a Melech is a person whose Moach controls the Lev, which controls the Kaved, that the Neshama speaks to the Ruach, which then gives over to the Nefesh. That's what a Melech is. So Avram Avinu's name equals 248, which means all the limbs of the body. And Hashem says, why did I give Avram a name that means it equals 248, which are all the limbs? To tell us that there's such a thing that a human being can be a king over himself. That's what it means. To be a king over himself. The malchus of a person. You could have a person like Hordus. You ever have Herod? You know Yerushalayim? He built up the whole Yerushalayim. He built up the whole Eretz Yisrael, Hordus. He was a Rasha, a big Rasha. He killed his whole family. He killed all the Chacham. Hordus. The time of the Baal Sheni. Hordus. Herod. On him, Chazal say the term Eved Ki Yimloch. You hear this beautiful term? Eved Ki Yimloch, a slave who is acting as king. There are kings right now in the world who have thousands of people protecting them, who go to sleep with all the lights on in their palace and sleep every night in a different room in a different place because they're afraid, they're terrified. There are people who are kings, who call themselves kings, who call themselves executives and presidents and kings, and they can't control themselves. Every time they walk in the street and they see something pass by, they have to lift up their head, they can't control looking up. They have no control over the Ruach and the Nefesh at all, b'chlal not. So the Torah is telling us, when Hashem came to give us the Torah, He said, I want you to be Mamleches Kehanim. So Rabbeinu Yonah says, a melech means moach lev kaved. A melech means a person whose neshama speaks to the ruach and to the nefesh, whose desires, whose wants, and whose physical actions are dictated by what the neshama knows to be the truth of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. Therefore, Chazal, this last week's parasha, how did Yehuda merit the quality of melucha? Where does Yehuda become a melech? At what point does Yehuda become a melech? So Chazal say, "Mibnei shahoda al ma'isei tamar," because he admitted, he confessed to what he had done with Tamar. He admitted his mistake. He confessed his mistake. Because every single thing about him was telling him his nefesh and his ruach were both screaming. What are you going to do? How could you embarrass and humiliate yourself? But when the Moach told him that this is not the right way, this can't be. Or in the terminology of the Targum Yonason, is it worth giving up a world that is forever for a world that is temporary and passing? Is it worth it? So Yehuda becomes a melech. Nobody in the world was in his kingdom. He had no subjects. He had no servants. But he was a melech. He was a melech, because a melech, according to the Torah, means mamleches kehanim, a person whose moach rules over the lev, which rules over the kaved, with a neshama, with a person is the world of shemaim and aretz. Like the famous teaching of the Chiddush Arim, of the Ger Rebbe, when it says, Hashemaim shemaim l'Hashem, ve'aretz nosan l'vnei Adam. Shemaim belongs to Hashem, and He gave earth to men. So the Chiddush Arim used to say, Hashemayim Shemayim L'Hashem, the heaven belongs to Hashem, V'ha'aris Nosan L'vnei Adam, and Hashem gave man the earth to change it back into Shemayim. You just have to finish the sentence. Hashem wants us to take the earth and to bring it up to Shemayim, to bring the Nefesh up to the level of Neshama, to bring the Nefesh up to the level of Neshama. So that's where Yehuda, That's where Yehuda, when he had the Gvuras HaRuach, the Gvuras HaRuach, when he was able with his neshama to be shoylet al ha-leiv, to have control over the leiv, this is what gave him the quality of Malchus. Memele, we understand. We can understand. This is the Gemara says, Chazal tell us the Gemara in Gittin, it's brought down, that you might remember that Shlomo HaMelech had a certain confrontation with Ashmedai, with the evil, with the side of evil. And the Gemara tells us that he was, that this Ashmedai was able to be an impostor of Shlomo HaMelech, and Shlomo HaMelech was thrown away 400 parses. He was kicked out of his kingdom. So the Gemara says on the pasuk, Vizehoya Chelki Mikol Amoli, that Shlomo HaMelech, when he stood there, thrown away, cast away from the kingdom, Shlomo HaMelech said the pasuk in Kohelet, Zechelki Mikol Amoli, this is all I have from all of my work. This is the sum total of my whole life. This is all I have. My vizeh, what does it mean, vizeh chelki? So the Gemara says, Rav and Shmuel, some machlokas, Rav and Shmuel, chadam ar maklo, v'chadam ar gundom. One opinion says that all he had left was his stick, his staff. The other opinion says that all he had left was a garment, or another interpretation of gundom means a kli, some sort of a jar. That's all he had left. Zeh chelki mikol amali. Shlomo says, this is all I have left for my life. In the earlier part of his life, Shlomo Melech was king over the higher world, even over the angels and over the demons and over everything. Then he lost that kingdom. He became king over the entire physical world. He lost the kingdom of the whole world. He became king only over the Jewish people. So he lost the kingdom of Yisrael, and he became Melech only over Yerushalayim. In the end, he only had rule over his own bed. In the end, he only ruled over his stick, his staff. That's all he had. That was his whole Malchus. So the Tzaddikim say what's extraordinary about this Gemara is that all, despite all that he went through, he remained a Melech all the time. To be a melech over a stick, what does that mean? The malchus of Shlomo HaMelech, throughout all the things that he went through, what happens to most people is when things don't go well, then the nefesh takes over and we end up with chaos and you lose your whole malchus. You see, Herod, Hurdus, was called Eved Ki Yimloch, a slave that became king, that was working as a king. But sometimes you have a king that's working as a slave. And when a king's working as a slave, he's still a melech, he remains inherently a melech. Therefore, when Chazal speak about the fall, the decline and fall of Shlomo HaMelech, and the reason why he was able to climb back into greatness was because no matter into what he fell, he always remained in that level of moach, lev, and kaveh. He was a melech, even if it meant that his malchus was only over his a little stick, and he was no longer melech over the whole world. And this helps us to understand, we'll have to do this quickly. This helps us to understand a teaching that's found in one of the deepest svarim, the Me'ashi Loach, from the Rebbe of Marchi Yosef Ishbitzer. This really should take an hour. I'm just going to read this to you very quickly. Listen carefully to the words of the Ishbitzer. He brings this Gemara about Shlomo HaMelech. So one opinion says he was ruling over a stick. The other says it was over a kado, over some sort of a container. So the Ishbitzer says, "Ubetach Shlomo HaMelech alav shalom lahayim is einachas shamal evdon shashuay elamazem menu." Certainly, when Shlomo HaMelech was saying, "Zechelki mikol amali, this is all I have for my work," certainly he wasn't complaining that I lost my stable, I lost my swimming pool, I lost my servants. He wasn't complaining about losing all of my zeh. He calls it lahayim nechshav etzlamu uma, because it wasn't considered anything in his eyes. He couldn't care less about those things. Ach hispar batzmo v'amar. So, what does the pasuk mean? Is this all I have left for my work? What's he so proud about? What he's saying is that even though it seems to me like I've lost everything, and if someone looks at me, they'll see that I no longer have anything left in my life. I'm completely empty. But he says, really, I have everything. Because what does it mean? It calls us, I have the tamsis, the essence of life. And what are those? The two things I'm holding on to. Beilo shnai nimset tamsin b'chol chayim elam hazeh. V'zeh shom hazeh chel ki b'kol om echadam amaklo. What does a makl mean? What does a stick mean? So the Ishbitzah says, Hainu koach hachayim nisholo. The stick means the power of life. Life. Bechira. A staff means authority. Control over oneself. That's what the staff means. I'm in control of myself. I'm a melech. He still had the scepter. That's life, because life means bechira. Because bechira means ubecharta bechayim. Bechira means the chaleb and the gemensh. If you're choosing your life, that's called living. So he says, I still have my stick. When it describes the end of time, Mashiach comes, the pasuk says, Ish mishanto biyado, each person will be holding onto his own stick, his own staff. And what's the container? What's the empty jar? Kado hainu kli kibul hainu mukhin mishtoki gadlei safa. An empty jar means, I have an empty container, which means I'm prepared to receive, I'm filled with longing for more. Because the empty jar, which is the essence of where all tefillah comes from, the feeling of emptiness, that at one moment, at the same time, simultaneously, a person can carry the staff and be a melech, moach, lev, kavod, even though everything in this world was taken from him. And then on the other hand, the person stands there like Shlomo Melech with an empty jar, which means, klei hayni muchen mishtoikek ad l'hayisafer. A person's alive if he still wants. If a person doesn't want, he's no longer alive. Because to want means to be alive. Because the human being has a choice what to want, but not to want anything at all, that's not a choice. If you don't want, you're not a human being. Wanting is a sign of life. Therefore, Shlomo HaMelech holds on to a staff, which means Malchus, and holds on to an empty container, which means a hishtekos, a longing for more life, a hope and a faith that the future will be better. That's what it means, Malchus. That's what Malchus means. Now, Bez Hashem, I mean, there's a lot more to talk about. Bez Hashem, please hold on to these pages, and we're just going to finish up, because the last two things on the page, the last three items, are telling us how Dibur fits into all this speech. So we're going to speak about speaking, about speech, how that Dafke is specifically connected to the Ruach, Ruach HaPeh. Why is speech more connected to free choice that we've established today, that Ruach means free choice? Why is it that HaMavis HaChayim VaMavis Biyad HaLoshen, that the measuring stick of a person's free choice is primarily in the breath of his mouth of what he or she says? Therefore, Loshen Hara is a true measure of where a person's holding in this world, the ability to control one's speech, because the Ruach is the Peh, and the Ruach means Bechira, and Bechira means speaking, and speaking means davening. Mitzvah Hashem next time. And this all has to do with Hanukkah, but I don't have time.